about Little Rock School District and how charter schools affect it.
This takeover has been just a huge issue, and how sure. controversial can it be? Huh?
Right. Yeah. I think we've done the really yeoman's work on that. Child welfare has been an enormous issue for us in the wake, especially of the Justin Harris rehoming story that we broke. Was it last year? Yeah. And then healthcare, maybe the biggest story in Arkansas in the last several years. We've really been at the forefront of that and have gotten a lot of national attention for David Ramsey's coverage on that.
And do you, does the Arkansas Times feel an obligation to sort of do the one hand and on the other hand in terms of your major voice? Do you feel like, you know, if I'm going to have a Ernie Dumas and... you know, whoever writing a column, I've got to put a conservative column in there too, or
no, we don't. Which is not to say that we wouldn't. We're open to a conservative.
And we're not calling Ernie some wild, high, crazy person, but you know,
no, and
he's benchmark for many of us.
I think that often, while we are branded as being, you know, pinko commies, we're actually pretty moderate.
You know, and I've said the same of every organization I've been involved with for 45 years, too. So
we get criticism.
I'm with you on that team, too.
We get criticism from the left all the time. So, yeah.
Well, and it's just part of what goes into pushing the thing. You know, I remember the legislature used to come in session. I remember an Arkansas Gazette cartoon when I was first coming here in 1970 about the annual, you know, farm and livestock show coming to town. So I look at that. Talking about the legislature. Oh my goodness, where am I now? What's going to happen next? But now, are you originally from Arkansas, or where are you from, Lindsay?
I'm originally from Searcy, White County, conservative bastion.
Okay, Wilbur Mills country up there. Yeah, well, that's a fine tradition in this state. So Little Rock's been kind to you, though. You've been here, you were saying, 9 years with the Arkansas Times?
Yeah, I've been in town for 15 years or so. I've bounced around several different publications. But yeah, I've been in the Arkansas Times for about 9 years, and I'd say this is probably it for me. I think I'm a lifer.
Well, there you go. And in some ways, it helped the Times that the Gazette went under, didn't it?
Yeah, so like I said earlier, we were a magazine for 20 years, and as the newspaper war was coming to an end, our founder and publisher, Alan Leverett, said, you know, we've got to take advantage of this somehow. And so, and actually, I think Mara, his wife at the time, really convinced him of that. So we became weekly. We hired much of the senior editorial staff of the Gazette, so that included Ernie, Doug, Max, Leslie Peacock, and some others. It was quite a large staff in the early days. And initially, for the first 4 or 5 years, we were statewide and subscription-based, and then we moved to what's more the alternative weekly model, where we're distributed free more in central Arkansas.
Let me tell you, my compañera, she's an Arkansas girl and has had a subscription to the Arkansas.
We have loyal subscribers.
Oh my God, she has that. And finally, I was able to say something. Hey, you know, we're going to have that news right on KBF.
Yeah.
Before. You know, she gets it the week after. When I'm ever in Little Rock, I bring back the issue just to, you know, sort of jabber. Well, here's the current issue you'll get next week.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, you've got some subscribers. How many years ago was that? God, it just seems like it was yesterday. But
well, it was 91 was the end of the newspaper year war, and 92 is when we went weekly. So
that has been a while. It's, you know, time, just 25 years almost. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I think it helps to be a small operation. We've been nimble enough to make some adjustments. You know, we always say we're not ahead of the curve, but we're just, you know, far enough behind it in this market that it seems like we are. You know, we're doing something good. So we've moved around as the media market has changed, and we're trying to keep doing that. We talk about business, we've survived print advertising, with print advertising as our main source of revenue over the years, but web has increasingly become a big part of the mix. We have a metered paywall on the daily blog that we do, so it's sort of like the New York Times, 10 visits for free, after which you're blocked, you have to pay $9.99 a month. And we have a sizable number of subscribers, but we also have, our traffic has not declined. In fact, it's increased pretty substantially since we introduced the paywall, because we have a lot of people who, you know, 10 is a lot for a lot of news consumers, and they're coming for the biggest 5 stories of the month, and that works for them, so.
Well, it's been a changing environment, and we kid here, we got some new equipment last year, and we did the studio, and I asked the radio engineer, well, are we up to this century yet? And he said, very close, Wade, very close, so don't tell us, we're so far trailing edge, as our engineer's with us here, I don't want him to comment, but if he had a mic, he could jump right in. We're backing up this interview 2 ways to make sure everything works here in the production studio, but 42 years for a weekly is also, there's a lot of changes in that market all over the country.
Sure, yeah.
So, you know, surviving and thriving is something too. What can we expect in the future from the Arkansas Times? I mean, obviously we're excited about the daily thing, and we're going to be driving as much as we're doing promos to get people used to looking for the news at 6:30. But is there anything you'd like to tell us that's coming up on the horizon soon?
Well, I can plug this week's cover story. We did a kind of deep dive into Planned Parenthood in Arkansas, you know, really talking about all of the good that it does that it doesn't get credit for. I mean, it's so often villainized, especially this new administration, not so new now, but, it always finds itself in court. Protesters surround it. Went to a Planned Parenthood fundraiser a couple weeks ago and just mobbed by protesters, really saying some vile things and being as menacing as possible. But, you know, I mean, Planned Parenthood just does so much good for men.
I think people don't realize that it's such an important source of medical care for low and moderate income women.
Yeah,
in many states.
And the thing that I didn't realize that this article really brings to the fore is how much the transgender community relies on Planned Parenthood. I mean, often you'll find people who are amid transition and don't really feel comfortable going to their typical doctor, and Planned Parenthood is seen as a safe space. So Planned Parenthood recognizes this trend and is really trying to increase its relationship with the trans community. There's all sorts of things that are stigmatized in the LGBTQ community. So often gay people struggle to get Truvada, the drug that's shown great when used with condoms, just dramatically reduces HIV. And a lot of doctors, we've heard, at least anecdotally, and Planned Parenthood said they do the same, won't prescribe it because they say it's just a license for promiscuity. But I think we forget how often politics figures into medical care, and Planned Parenthood, though it is so politicized in the larger debate, really, when a patient is dealing with it, all of that is gone. They are all about care and working with people and not judging them. So, yeah, that's an article that it'll be online today and in print tomorrow, and to your house in a week.
in my house in a week, but on the radio here at KBF probably today, tomorrow, and certainly in the week's wrap-up. And we're talking to Lindsay Miller, who's the editor of the Arkansas Times, has been with them for some years now. Planned Parenthood, the president of the national organization, is Cecile Richards, daughter of the ex-governor of Texas, where, boy, Texas and Kansas, places like that, have been hammer and tong against Planned Parenthood, and it's a soft spot for us because she was an organizer in the beginning for our local 100 that has an office here, worked with me in New Orleans. We're huge Cecile Richards fans here at this mic. So that's good to see that people are trying to understand the full nature, and they've done a remarkable job of standing up to the opposition. Just haven't backed down, whether it was friend or foe and the pink people or, you know, governors or whatever. And they've done well in court on some of these things where clearly, you know, even most recently in Kansas, you can't just throw them out when they're giving Medicare services. That's certainly been the effort to try to politicize all of that. So good for you. And how about this education story? I mean, that's obviously been big here recently with the flip-flop at the top. Where are we going? Are we just going to be an adjunct of the Walton Foundation? What's happening here?
Yeah,
are we just going to have to wear a yellow smiley face on the T-shirt of all the school uniforms? Or what's happening?
I think that that is a fair concern. You know, this is charter schools is a big hobby horse of Max Brownlee, our senior editor.
I'm with Max on this one now. All the way, I'll ride.
And he, you know, has been writing about them for years and years, and would admit that he was sort of radicalized about them. And there are a lot of people who are a little more ambivalent who thought, oh, you know, he's just conspiracy theories. This idea that the Waltons are in control of everything is just ludicrous. But I think you see the push to the legislative push that happened. Let's see, it was in the last regular session to essentially take over the school district, to dissolve Little Rock School District and bring in a private company to basically run it, and then everything that's happened since Hutchinson was elected, and as the State Board of Education has changed, and the rules for approving charter schools, and the way the takeover went down, and the firing of Little Rock School District Superintendent Baker Curris, and it all really, I mean, it's pretty irrefutable that the Waltons have had a heavy hand in all of this, and that there is a concerted effort to tear down Little Rock School District and to prop up charter schools, even ones like Academics Plus that are performing, you know,
abysmally.
Yes. So it's a very troubling time. I think there's been a great reaction by community leaders, a great coalition that's emerging to fight back, and, you know, that's shown some small, there's been some small instances that they seem to have a bit of an impact. But I think that it's really important that everyone keeps speaking out about it, and we certainly are going to write about it, you know, anytime there's a new development, and really dig into the numbers and the facts, and, you know, who's behind the Academics Plus thing we mentioned just a minute ago. They recently acquired a building on Markham Street, and there was a kind of phantom LLC that was behind the acquisition. Couldn't figure out, you know, who it was, but then found that it shared a post office box with a Walton entity in Northwest Arkansas. So clearly, it's behind the Walton Family Foundation is behind that. And so, yeah, I mean, I think anyone that's interested in that should tune in to our KBF programming and read the Arkansas Times online and the weekly edition. We're committed to covering that aggressively.
Well, and, you know, I call, you know, I get to rest when I go to New Orleans, and we've been since Katrina for 10 years, the charter school poster child, if you will, and
sure.
It's only the most recent session of our legislature with a new governor that finally charters are having to go under a democratically elected school board after now we're 11 years since Katrina. Unfortunately, you know, with the Republican legislature there, even though we have a Democratic governor, it means that they're coming in, staying as sort of like autonomous little planets, you know, but at least under an elected school board. So we've got more problems in store. And it's been one scandal after another. There are, you know, 90 different employees for charter schools in New Orleans that make more than $100,000 a year, and one principal of a little one school operation makes $250,000. Why would they ever want to come under the school district anymore? Sure. It's not in their interest. You know, so it's just like funders and backers, and everybody's got their thing.
As far as the politics go, I think that it's really analogous to this faith that Republicans have in the market and capitalism, that you know, the more tax relief we give, the more that's going to help everyone, trickle-down economics. And this is the same kind of thing. It's the more charter schools we have, the more competition that there will be, and that just means all boats will rise. And that's just foolish.
So this kind of hard reporting and consistent work that the Arkansas Times is doing is going to be on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, 6:30. Thanks to underwriting by the great Darrell Foundation. Fred Darrell was talking about a progressive voice back in the 70s. I was lucky enough to know him back then, and obviously they're underwriting this show. We're very excited over this year. So that's 6:30 every day, right, Lindsay? And
right.
Then on the weekends, be a half-hour show, you and Max Brantley, it sounds like.
Right.
We'll be doing that. How can people get in touch with you or the Arkansas Times if they want to get involved in this, or have a good idea or scandal or hot tip or whatever you got?
They can visit us at arktimes.com. There's a contact list on the menu and also a tip list, and they can send us anything they got. Look forward to hearing from them.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's been great having you with us. This has been Wage World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. We say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, this is Wade Rathke from Wage World at KABF, www.kabf.org. Thank you.
Perfect, Joe. Perfect.
Okay, we're wow. Good. So that has been a while. You know, time just 25 years almost. Wow.
Yeah. I think it helps to be a small operation. We've been nimble enough to make some adjustments. You know, we always say we're not ahead of the curve, but we're just far enough behind it in this market that it seems like we are. You know, we're doing something good. So we've moved around as the media market has changed, and we're trying to keep doing that. We talk about business. We've survived print advertising, with print advertising as our main source of revenue over the years, but web has increasingly become a big part of the mix. We have a metered paywall on the daily blog that we do, so it's sort of like the New York Times, 10 visits for free, after which you're blocked, you have to pay $9.99 a month. And we have a sizable number of subscribers, but we also have, our traffic has not declined. In fact, it's increased pretty substantially since we introduced the paywall, because we have a lot of people who, 10 is a lot for a lot of news consumers, and they're coming for the biggest 5 stories of the month, and that works for them, so.
Well, it's been a changing environment, and we kid here, we got some new equipment last year, and we did the studio, and I asked the radio engineer, well, are we up to this century yet? And he said, very close, Wade, very close, so don't tell us, we're so far trailing edge, as our engineer's with us here. I don't want him to comment, but if he had a mic, he could jump right in. We're backing up this interview 2 ways to make sure everything works here in the production studio, but 42 years for a weekly is also, there's a lot of changes in that market all over the country.
Sure, yeah.
So, surviving and thriving is something too. What can we expect in the future from the Arkansas Times? I mean, obviously we're excited about the daily thing, and we're going to be driving as much as we're doing promos to get people used to looking for the news at 6:30. But is there anything you'd like to tell us that's coming up on the horizon soon?
Well, I can plug this week's cover story. We did a kind of deep dive into Planned Parenthood in Arkansas, you know, really talking about all of the good that it does that it doesn't get credit for. I mean, it's so often villainized, especially this new administration, not so new now, but, you know, it always finds itself in court. Protesters surround it. Went to a Planned Parenthood fundraiser a couple weeks ago and just mobbed by protesters, you know, saying some vile things and being as menacing as possible. But, you know, Planned Parenthood just does so much good for men.
I think people don't realize that it's such an important source of medical care for low and moderate income women.
Yeah,
in many states.
And the thing that I didn't realize that this article really brings to the fore is how much the transgender community relies on Planned Parenthood. I mean, often you'll find people who are amid transition and don't really feel comfortable going to their typical doctor, and Planned Parenthood is seen as a safe space. So Planned Parenthood recognizes this trend and is really trying to increase its relationship with the trans community. You know, there's all sorts of things that are stigmatized in the LGBTQ community. So often gay people struggle to get Truvada, the drug that's shown, great when used with condoms, just dramatically reduces HIV. Hmm. And a lot of doctors, we've heard, at least anecdotally, and Planned Parenthood said they do the same, won't prescribe it because they say it's just a license for promiscuity. But I think we forget how often politics figures in to medical care, and Planned Parenthood, though it is so politicized in the larger debate, really, when a patient is dealing with it, all of that is gone. You know, they are all about care and working with people and not judging them. So, yeah, that's an article that it'll be online today and in print tomorrow, and to your house in a week.
in my house in a week, but on the radio here at KBF probably today, tomorrow, and certainly in the week's wrap-up. And we're talking to Lindsay Miller, who's the editor of the Arkansas Times, who's been with them for some years. Now, Planned Parenthood, the president of the national organization is Cecile Richards, daughter of the ex-governor of Texas, where, boy, Texas and Kansas, places like that, have been hammer and tong against Planned Parenthood. And it's a soft spot for us because she was an organizer in the beginning for our local 100 that has an office here, worked with me in New Orleans. We're huge Cecile Richards fans here at this mic. So that's good to see that people are trying to understand the full nature, and they've done a remarkable job of standing up to the opposition. Just haven't backed down, whether it was friend or foe and the pink people or, you know, governors or whatever. And they've done well in court on some of these things where clearly, you know, even most recently in Kansas, you can't just throw them out when they're giving Medicare services. That's certainly been the effort to try to politicize all of that. So good for you. And how about this education story? I mean, that's obviously been big here recently with the flip-flop at the top. Where are we going? Are we just going to be an adjunct of the Walton Foundation? What's happening here?
Yeah,
are we just going to have to wear a yellow smiley face on the T-shirt of all the school uniforms, or what's happening?
I think that is a fair concern. This is charter schools is a big hobby horse of Max Brownlee, our senior editor.
I'm with Max on this one now. All right, all right.
And he, you know, has been writing about them for years and years, and would admit that he was sort of radicalized about them. And there are a lot of people who are a little more ambivalent who thought, he's just conspiracy theories. This idea that the Waltons are in control of everything is just ludicrous. But I think you see the push to the legislative push that happened. Let's see, it was in the last regular session to essentially take over the school district, to dissolve Little Rock School District and bring in a private company to basically run it. And then everything that's happened since Hutchinson was elected, and as the State Board of Education has changed, and the rules for approving charter schools, and the way the takeover went down, and the firing of Little Rock School District Superintendent Baker Curris, and it all really, I mean, it's pretty irrefutable that the Waltons have had a heavy hand in all of this, and that there is a concerted effort to tear down Little Rock School District and to prop up charter schools, even ones like Academics Plus that are performing,
abysmally.
Yes. So it's a very troubling time. I think there's been a great reaction by community leaders, a great coalition that's emerging to fight back, and that's shown some small. There's been some small instances that they seem to have a bit of an impact. But I think that it's really important that everyone keeps speaking out about it, and we certainly are going to write about it. Anytime there's a new development, and really dig into the numbers and the facts, and who's behind the Academics Plus thing we mentioned just a minute ago. They recently acquired a building on Markham Street, and there was a kind of phantom LLC that was behind the acquisition. Couldn't figure out who it was, but then found that it shared a post office box with a Walton entity in Northwest Arkansas. So clearly it's behind the Walton Family Foundation is behind that. And so, I think anyone that's interested in that should tune in to our KBF programming and read the Arkansas Times online and the weekly edition. We're committed to covering that aggressively.
Well, and, I get to rest when I go to New Orleans, and we've been since Katrina for 10 years, the charter school poster child, if you will, and
sure.
It's only the most recent session of our legislature with a new governor that finally charters are having to go under a democratically elected school board after now we're 11 years since Katrina. Unfortunately, with the Republican legislature there, even though we have a Democratic governor, it means that they're coming in, staying as sort of like autonomous little planets, but at least under an elected school board. So we've got more problems in store. And it's been one scandal after another. There are, 90 different employees for charter schools in New Orleans that make more than $100,000 a year. And one principal of a little one school operation makes $250,000. Why would they ever want to come under the school district anymore?
Sure.
It's not in their interest. So it's just like, funders and backers, and everybody's got their thing.
As far as the politics go, I think that it's really analogous to this faith that Republicans have in the market and capitalism, that the more tax relief we give, the more that's going to help everyone, trickle-down economics. And this is the same kind of thing. It's the more charter schools we have, the more competition that there will be, and that just means all boats will rise. And it's just foolish.
So this kind of hard reporting and consistent work that the Arkansas Times is doing is going to be on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, 6:30, thanks to underwriting by the great Darrell Foundation. Fred Darrell was talking about a progressive voice back in the 70s. I was lucky enough to know him back then, and obviously they're underwriting this show. We're very excited over this year. So that's 6:30 every day, right, Lindsay? And
right.
Then on the weekends, it'll be a half-hour show, you and Max Brantley, it sounds like.
Right.
We'll be doing that. How can people get in touch with you or the Arkansas Times if they want to get involved in this or have a good idea or scandal or hot tip or whatever you got.
They can visit us at arktimes.com. There's a contact list on the menu and also a tip list, and they can send us anything they got. Look forward to hearing from them.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's been great having you with us. This has been Wage World for another week, the world where the other half lives, where we talk about things you've never heard, and as Lucinda Williams sang, things you've never seen and will never forget. We say it loud, we say it on the air, we say it on the radio. Until next week, this is Wade Rathke from Wage World at KABF, www.kabf.org. Thank you.
Perfect, Joe.
Okay, we're good.